Good morning. Good morning. This is Brian Cute of the ICANN Accountability and Transparency Review Team. Apologize to those online for our late start. We'd like to thank the registries for meeting with us today to discuss the affirmation of commitments and the review that's underway by the team. Thank you, David Maher. If you'd like to.
Thank you. You're welcome.
So the review team has initiated a series of meetings with the different constituent bodies in ICANN this week in an effort to collect data, to hear from you about areas of areas that map to the affirmation of commitments that you think we should focus on in our review and analyze as we work toward making recommendations for improvements to ICANN in the December timeframe. So we want to use the next 45 minutes or so as pretty much an open opportunity for informational exchange. We have provided the registries with a list of questions. We recognized when we did so that there was insufficient time for you all to provide written responses to those questions. We would absolutely welcome responses, written responses to those questions sometime after this meeting at your convenience. And those can serve as a guide up to our discussion this morning. But we need not be bound by that list of questions either. We really are here to hear from you should you have suggestions of areas that we need to focus on in terms of review for accountability and transparency. That's the purpose of this meeting. So with no further remarks, if the Accountability and Transparency Review Team could identify themselves to the registries, we'll get on with the meeting.
Hello, I'm Olivier Muron. I'm from France Telecom in Paris.
Manel Ismail, Egypt's representative.
Cheryl Langdonore, the current at-large advisory committee chair.
Willie Curry from the Association for Progressive Communications.
Louis Lee, senior network architect at Equinix, serving as the chair of the ASO Address Council.
Eric Giriarte, general manager at LACTLD.
Larry Strickling, U.S. Department of Commerce.
Becky Burr, Wilmer Hale, CCNSO Council.
Fabio Colasanti, until very recently with the European Commission.
Warren Edelman, President of GoDaddy.com.
Thank you all. So this is pretty much an open format. The mic's got a lot of feedback. Can we take care of that? This is an open format. Thank you. This is an open format, so we'd like to hear anything that you've prepared for us and have an open discussion for the next 45 minutes. David?
Thanks. I think we should probably also introduce ourselves. The registry representatives are here. My name's David Maher. I'm with .org. Public Interest Registry, and I'm the chair of the registry stakeholder group.
Kathy Kleiman, also with .org PIR.
Michael Young with Affilius.info.
Carolyn Hoover with the .coop registry.
Caroline Greer from the .mobi registry.
Chuck Gomes from VeriSign.
Greg Aaron. Affilius.
Fabien Betremieux with AFNIC for the .Paris future TLD, who's an observer to the registry stakeholder group.
That seems to be the full list. I'd like to ask Kathy Kleiman to open the discussion. The first topic we'd like to address is the DNS cert as an instance of what we see as a failure of bottom-up policymaking.
I just wanted to share how much I appreciate you being here and all the work that the Affirmation of Commitments team is doing. I know you've been in meetings for the last 2 days over the weekend, and thank you. I go back to the founding of ICANN, and so my experience with the DNS cert, and specifically with the DNS cert workshop that took place in April of 2010 in Washington, D.C., I found very surprising, kind of completely contrary to my prior experiences within ICANN. So I appreciate the time to share it. The DNS cert process, as you know, has been one about internet and DNS security and failings or shortcomings, vulnerabilities, and some questions that ICANN has been raising. I wound up as one of a small group of people, about two dozen people, invited to a DNS cert workshop in Washington. It was a closed event, which is a little unusual. It was invitation only, and it was security experts from around the world, and PIR is the founder of RIS, the Registration Infrastructure Security Group. So we were represented there. It was a meeting that, again, was very shared. We were given some scenarios, internet security scenarios, at the last minute and told to kind of bring our ideas, but there wasn't time to work with our teams. The scenarios came in on a weekend. And then when we came in with our big picture questions, which is these were very wide-ranging internet security, internet failing scenarios that go, in many cases, far outside the domain name system, or at least the domain name infrastructure as registries understand it and as what we do. When we tried to ask the question, you know, what's the scope of what we're working on? Why are we looking at such broad-ranging questions? We were told, just go with the scenarios. Don't question. Don't look beyond the scenarios. So we worked with the scenarios. But again, the questions kept coming up. Why are we what is the scope and mission of ICANN? And it was interesting. We were told, don't even think about that. Don't question the scope and mission of ICANN. We're going to look way beyond, and that's okay. When the final report came out, in fact, going into when we asked about the report that would come out of the workshop meeting, we were told there'll be plenty of time for minority statements, there'll be plenty of time to edit. There's traditionally, as someone who's drafted and as someone who's edited many times in working groups within ICANN, you give everyone enough time, especially when you know that there are strong minority statements. You make sure the draft gets out there quickly. You make sure that those who have different opinions have the opportunity to put their thoughts in. It didn't happen here. The report came out. It took a long time to come out. And when we questioned, kind of, is it ready? It wasn't ready yet. When it came out during a time where some of our members were in a different country for a computer security meeting and were difficult to reach and to kind of collect our thoughts together. But there was a rush. There was a great rush here. And it was very hard. Finally, we did write a quick minority statement. We did get a few edits into the paper, but the workshop paper came out reflecting a unanimity of views. And we're like, hold on a second. We went back to our original notes and said, we weren't unanimous on this, weren't unanimous on this, weren't unanimous on this. How can you reflect that we were? And the big picture questions of is what we're talking about within the scope and mission of ICANN was dropped completely from the paper. So we got some edits in at the last minute, not nearly enough and with not nearly the time. So what I'm seeing coming out of this is a process that's not open and transparent at the beginning, that is not broadly representative. It's selected by the staff. And it's not encouraging far-reaching participation. And it's kind of deeply troubling to those of us who are participating that we're not being represented, even as minorities, that we're not being represented as dissenting views in the way that we presented it at the workshop. So thank you for the chance to present this.
Thank you for that. And you've submitted a document, I see, to the registry list. Is that for the team's consumption as well?
If you would like, and if the registries, you know, agree that...
I was going to ask, can we have a formal statement to this effect? It would be most valuable.
I would be happy to. Right now I have kind of bullet points and an outline. I'd be happy to flesh it out as a longer document. Thank you.
Becky.
Can I ask just a few questions?
Sure.
Was the Security and Stability Advisory Group part of the meeting?
It was not, and Steve Cocker was not there and was not invited.
And was who the you mentioned PIR security experts, were the rest of the registries involved? Were any registrars involved? I mean, I'm trying to get a sense of who was there.
Interesting. Most of the people there were not part of the traditional ICANN community, actually. But for registries, Afilius was there, PIR was there, Network Solutions was there. And I heard that VeriSign had an invitation, but hadn't attended. But also Google was there, Microsoft was there, and a number of professors who specialize in the academia of hacking were there. But if there's anyone who was here who was there and wants to add, fill the list out a little bit more. OARC was there, a group that specializes in computer security issues.
Willie.
Oh, I'm sorry, do you have a follow-up, Becky?
Just one. You say it was wide-ranging, am I to understand that you mean it was not simply about DNS security, but security that went beyond, issues that went beyond DNS, or...?
There was a whole debate on what is DNS security, and there were people at the table who believed it meant not just the infrastructure issues that we traditionally deal with ICANN, but anything touching the Internet, anything involving a domain name. It was hard to kind of put that argument into the paper. We didn't find that argument. I didn't find that argument in the paper the first time I read it and kind of had to push in to say at least it was raised a little bit. But the fact that we debated this for long periods of time was not reflected in the final work.
Willie.
What was the main message of the so-called majority view in the report?
That, you know, there are terrible scenarios and we need to jump in and fix them. Or come up with a CERT, a community that ICANN should be leading, that a large number of the community believe that ICANN should be leading a community emergency response team for addressing very broad-ranging Internet security issues.
Louie.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Of the people that were invited, I heard that there were a couple of security experts. And of the commercial groups, both content providers and DNS folks, were they the individuals? Were they managers, or were any of the actual security technicians there, or what types of people were involved from each of these organizations?
Well, again, from academia, we had professors and doctoral students who were doing a lot of research on hacking and wanted someplace to bring their research. From Microsoft and Google, people who seem to work in some kind of security and security monitoring. Carl. Greg, I'm going to ask if you can add, because I know you know many of these people individually.
One of the things we'll do is we can point you to the report itself, which is available on the ICANN website now, and it contains a list of all the participants and their companies. One of the things that was unclear was whether the individuals there were representing individual views or the views of their companies or employers. In some cases, they were probably not authorized to represent their companies. So there was a question of what interests were being represented and the weight of the opinions of those present.
Larry. help me a little bit here, because this is not an area of my expertise, but I understand the concerns about the irregularity of the process, but maybe you could help me understand better what you see as the substantive dangers of this particular inquiry or initiative. In other words, one can say, yes, it should have involved everybody at the beginning, but what do you see as the substantive concerns about what's happened here?
I'll address that if no one else volunteers. I am not an engineer, but I understand the engineering concerns here, that this is a mission that ICANN is not currently able to undertake. The one of the things that's happened in this discussion of DNS cert was initially a request or a proposal in ICANN's budget for a very substantial budget line item to operate DNS cert. That produced a reaction from the technical community that why should ICANN expand its mission to do something that's already being done faster, better, and cheaper by the existing experts in security. I that's my understanding of the substantive issue, that this is something that can be done better by parties outside ICANN.
Was there any explanation of how this workshop was connected to the DNS cert initiative, which predated the workshop?
No. No, but there was a sense that what came out of the workshop was going to be used as part of the larger DNS initiative. So I would say I saw the workshop in some ways as leapfrogging the question, as David said, of do we need, should ICANN be involved in this type of security, and almost putting together a group of experts to say yes and here's why, but it was a self-selected group of experts. So leapfrogging the whole need rationale and creating it, it created a self-fulfilling prophecy. The workshop provided the a result that is now posted for comment on the website. Without opening up the broad question of what is ICANN's scope and mission, who's already doing, as David said, who's already doing this type of work? A lot of security work is being done by the industry, is being done by organizations, and jumping to the conclusion that ICANN should be leading this type of effort.
Thank you. Chuck?
Yeah, I want to correct one thing, and what David shared is an assumption that I think probably all of us in this room and most people in the ICANN community made, that there really wasn't large amounts of money in the ICANN framework. It was the framework that was the budget framework that was in play at that time. It really wasn't there. The confusion came about because their paper that they published on the DNS cert estimated the cost at $4.5 million. But there were not, there was never $4.5 million in the budget. In fact, it's not even clear that there was anything even in the budget framework. And there certainly is not funds for DNS cert in the draft budget that's published now. I had the same misunderstanding, so as many people in the community have, but I want to set that part straight. Okay.
Thank you. Other questions? Becky?
So I just want to, my recollection is that this issue of the DNS cert work came up in Nairobi, and that several constituencies in the community expressed reservations. I don't know if the registries had a statement about it, but I know the CCTLDs, for example, I know that the Security and Stability Advisory Group had made a statement about it. This seems, I'm trying to figure out whether this workshop was an attempt to have a conversation about the concerns that were expressed in Nairobi or not. And I guess I'm having, there were no CCs there, right?
So I've been looking at the list. There were CCs there. .cn was there, .gy, and .mx.
And any explanation for why SS, the Security and Stability Advisory Group, wasn't there?
No, no. And again, any broad questions of mission, scope, purpose, goals, use of the information was just kind of considered irrelevant, and we were urged to focus solely on the scenarios we were given. Again, very unusual, just a strange approach for an ICANN world where we are so used to starting with the big picture questions of who and what and why we're here, and then drilling down.
The question was, who from ICANN was there to run the meeting?
Greg Rattray, who's our security expert. ICANN security expert. Chief of Internet Security for ICANN.
Any other questions? Well, thank you for that. And if you would forward the document along to the review team. And as I said before, we view this as an ongoing dialogue. So if there are follow-on thoughts or other things you'd like to add with regard to this particular issue, please feel free to do so at any time. Are there other issues? Yes, Chuck.
I want to share one that started out negative and has turned positive. And it has to do with the base agreement for the new GTLD program. Going back, Claire, to Seoul, the ICANN meeting in Seoul, the registries in meeting with the board in our traditional lunch meeting on Tuesdays and repeating it in Nairobi, we had been requesting that we sit down, that representatives from registries sit down with ICANN staff and discuss the terms of the base register agreement for new GTLDs, and didn't exclude others from being in that discussion. And were promised, as I recall, and others can correct me if I'm wrong, that they would do that. And we waited and waited. David sent reminders what's happening with this meeting. Nothing ever happened, not even a response. Okay. Finally, after the meeting in Nairobi, they responded. And interestingly enough, as soon as this informal group, and it didn't just include registries, I think there were some IPC people there and so forth. Some of you in the room were at that session, I think. I was not. But I know that our attorneys were involved in that little group. And I was involved in the first in-person meeting of the group in Marina del Rey. It's produced, I think, a very good base agreement. So the negative was it took them terribly long time to promise what they said they'd do. But when they did, it was, I believe, very, very successful. So it's an example when we can sit down and just communicate, we can accomplish a lot.
Thank you, Chuck. A couple follow-up questions on that. Can you give us a specific idea of how long a period of time we were talking about from the initiation to the actual follow-up?
Well, I'm trying to remember. David, do you recall, when did we first start requesting that? Certainly it was in DAG 3, but I think we requested it even before DAG 3, didn't we?
I think you're right, but I couldn't give you a chapter and verse.
At a minimum, it was in October in Seoul. It could have actually happened before then, and I don't remember. But certainly we requested it in Seoul in October of 2009, and they said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Nothing happened. We get to Nairobi. In fact, in Nairobi, the session, as some of the registrars will recall, got a little contentious, even for those of us that were in Reston. But after that, staff did, in that same meeting, in a different meeting where John Jeffrey was involved, he said, we'll follow up on this, it's in our court, and they did. And we set up the group of mostly legal folks, because it was obviously a contract, which is a legal document, and the results of that have been, from our point of view, very, very positive.
Thank you. The conclusion is constructive and positive. I think if the review team is to look at this as a possible case study, for example, we need to base any of our case studies on fact, first and foremost. So when I ask this question, I understand there may be some subjectivity in the response, but did you have a sense as to why there was such a long period of non-responsiveness? Was it just a communications issue? Was there something more? Did staff have a contrary position? Did you have any sense of that?
I certainly didn't. because we never even got a response to our requests. What about this meeting? When we repeated it, so it would be very subjective to even predict it in my opinion, Brian.
Becky.
As I recall, the registry submitted comments on the contract in DAG 1. Do you have a sense of how many of the issues that were raised in that were finally resolved in this now, whenever the meeting was? I don't know when you guys had that meeting. What I'm asking about is, as I recall, there was a fairly detailed document from the registry attorneys that went through point by point and actually suggested different language for it. And I'm wondering whether there was continuous process in the DAGs as they went through and there was progress towards that, or no progress until the meeting took place.
Here's what happened after those initial comments, and we proposed an alternative, as you're aware, to some of the terms in the agreement, in particular with regard to making amendments to the agreement. And the what they did then in the next version of the DAG is they posted a document that and it was a 5-page document that discussed the options, and they included the registry option as one option, and it was included in there, but the majority of the document argued for the other positions, which were contrary to ours. It was a very unbalanced document. That, as I recall, was the only response to our first publication of our comments and our suggested alternative. And we talked about that even in Nairobi, that document was very slanted. I made comments myself from Reston.
Willie.
This is very interesting because we heard in another of our meetings that this was a secret meeting between registrars and ICANN staff, and the public was excluded and there was a lack of transparency.
Let me set the record straight on that. I said I was in the meeting in Reston. After that, I let the attorneys handle it. Meeting in Reston, there were registrars present. There was a teleconference line that people could participate in. It was open to anyone who wanted to participate. And again, do we have anybody here that participated in the working group on a follow-up basis? Amy Stathos was a key player from the ICANN side, and and there were intellectual property representatives on the group as well. So I'm not sure if we're talking about the same group or not, but it was not closed. Just to be fair, we probably would have liked it to have been closed, just us. But staff, you know, rejected that, rightfully so.
Have there been other... let me back up. This is Brian Cute. We are focusing primarily on the elements of paragraph 9.1 in the affirmation of commitments in terms of the reviews that we do. And so a relevant time frame for us is from September 30th last year when the affirmation came into effect. But we are looking backward as well. It sounds like this started prior to September 30th of last year, and the DAG is a process that involves other aspects of policy development for ICANN in the new TLD round. Have there been other aspects of the DAG process that have raised similar concerns that might be worthy of a look?
Well, lumped in with that were fairly big concerns on registry's part with regard to the PDDRP, the Post-Domain Dispute Resolution Policy. And so actually, once this group was eventually formed, that topic was dealt with as well. And again, excellent progress.
Could you just explain for review team members who might not be aware what the PDDRP process is?
The post-domain dispute resolution process is...
Post-delegation.
That's right. I always get that wrong. Thank you. Post-delegation dispute resolution process is a process that came out of the rights protections ad hoc groups that were formed. It's designed to deal with rights protections issues after delegation, whereas many of the rights protections, for example, the clearinghouse, are before they actually start operating. This was actually subsequent to that. So it adds some new provisions for dealing with domain name disputes regarding rights. Trademark rights, et cetera, after the fact. So.
Thank you. Willie.
Just shifting to the vertical integration PDP, could you comment on how you reflect on how that process has gone and anything that might be of interest to the ATRT in that arena?
Sure. We had this is more from a GNSO perspective than a registry's perspective, although we are involved, we have representatives involved in that group. There are lots of encouraging signs. We're not sure that the working group is going to be able to come to a consensus position or not. Right now it looks like they've narrowed it down to two positions. And of course, Brian knows more about this than I do, but because he's on that working group. But interestingly enough, and this is a side note that I haven't even been able to tell the registries about yet. But we had two tables in our board dinner meeting with last night, the GNSO Council, that focused on vertical integration, and there was some great communication going on, and we hope to continue that communication with board members and GNSO counselors this week. And just a few minutes ago, I was looking at some emails. The Vertical Integration Working Group is going to try to have another face-to-face meeting while here in Brussels. One of the problems may be some of the scheduling limitations, and new procedures make it difficult to schedule a meeting last minute, but there may be some workarounds on that. There's a certain level of optimism. It's still not clear whether they'll come to one position. I certainly, in council meetings over the weekend, encourage the working group not to that the time frame may be shorter than what they think it is. They were looking at producing maybe a final report in September.